stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help your dreams come true, help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and 1 a.m. on Monday mornings on this fine radio station and podcasting, both on the homepage as well as the radio show's page of richarddugan.com, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, I believe, and a few others. And you can find us. You can also connect to our guests, especially using the SoundCloud player in the upper right-hand corner when you're listening to an interview. The grocery cart that's up there, the cart, as they call it, is a link to our guest's website. Normally, it would be maybe to purchase something that that person is selling. Well, in this case, we're not selling anything. We're giving it away. So you can go there to our guest website that we will be linked to as well on the radio show's page, and you can continue your evolutionary process. We definitely encourage you to do so. And then, of course, if you would like to support what we're doing here, we would greatly appreciate that. All you have to do is go to the PayPal link that we have on our website, and we all have a PayPal account set up that you can contribute through and to, and again, all contributions, no matter how great or small, if you will. There are no great or small. They're all appreciated equally. And again, we thank those who have already done so for doing so. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Our program today is going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to want to listen to the podcast because there's going to be more here than meets the ear, because this is radio. We hope that you will go to the website of our guest as well, and we also hope that you will check things out in that regard, and also go to our guest website. We'll give you that in a moment. Opening the Akashic Records, returning guest is going to help meet your record keeper and help to meet your record keeper and discover your soul's purpose. Maureen J. St. Jerome. I've always loved that last name, Maureen. Thank
Jermaine.
You so
much.
Jermaine. Did I say what? Well, it doesn't matter what I said. St. Jermaine. I love that last name. You're also the author of Waking Up in 5D. That's what we talked about the last time you were on the program. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for helping us get the word out on Waking Up. It's actually on its third printing, and it's about 18 months old. So we're hoping it goes really big.
Oh, that's
it's
fantastic.
It's a super tool for anyone who is having experiences that don't make any sense, and they're trying to make sense of it. Anyone who's working on their spiritual path and wants to have some quick tools and easy ways to find their way back home, to find their way to be more connected and to know more stuff. You know, it's amazing how much information is there if you know how to ask or know what to ask. So,
and that's kind of the key, isn't it? Is knowing what to ask. And sometimes, you know, I've been challenged, of course, by the whole issue of giving up the need to know why kind of thing, right? And I am trying to sort of ignore that, so to speak.
Well, actually, that, you know, that's very apropos for our discussion today with the Akashic Records, because that's the number one question to ask in the Akashic Records.
Oh, okay.
And the reason is because the Akashic Records were opened to anyone. It used to be only the higher people here on the planet, you know, the Buddhas, the, you know, Muhammad, Christ, whoever you think of in a, you know, an elevated way, a master, could access this field of information. But now it's open to everybody. Everybody can get in. And they always answer why. Even when you're not asking why, they will offer up the why. And that's one of the biggest benefits of being in the records, because when you know why somebody has done something or why something has happened a certain way, you unhook from your judgment of it. You unhook from your disappointment or anger or frustration. And that's very useful, because we're all becoming fifth dimensional. So it's very wonderful.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. We'll sort of backtrack a little bit. What What is it that you mean by fifth dimensional? I think that people need to take a little bit of a refresher course in that respect if they haven't listened to it. We encourage you to go back and listen to our guest here, Maureen's first interview with us having to do with the fifth dimension. What is that?
Fifth dimension is a field that everybody is accessing, whether they realize it or not. And it is complementary to third dimension, and it's so similar to third that you don't always know you're in fifth dimension. And what happens is when you are in a blissful state, when you're in a yummy state, you know, somebody, let's say you're on the phone with a support staff of some phone or software you're working with, and they don't get it, what you're trying to have helped. And so, you know, they make a mistake or they don't listen to you and they roll right into their script that's in front of them. And, you know, at 3D, you're going to say, you know, would you please listen to me? But in 5D, you just laugh and you say, oh, I see what you're answering. That's not exactly what I wanted. You know, I wanted this. And your whole tone is light and loving. And so fifth dimension is a place where there is no polarity. There is no judgment. There is no anger. There's no frustration. And that's remarkable compared to the life we're living now.
Very much so.
And people are sliding into 5D. And I'm sure I gave this example before, but I'll give it again to kind of refresh everyone's memory. When you set something down and you finished your errand and you're happy and you put your sunglasses away, and then you think a little while later, oh, I forgot to take care of this. I better go out and take care of that right away. So now you're a little bit more anxious and concerned. You need to pay this bill or whatever it is you need to go out for. You go grab your sunglasses and they're not there. And you think to yourself, it wasn't that long ago. I'm not tired. I didn't imagine it. Why are they not here? You could even pull everything out of that drawer. No sunglasses. Put everything back. Fine. Where's the spare? I'll get the spare. You get the spare. You go out. You have a successful adventure. You come back. And you forget that you're wearing the spare, and you open the drawer to put the sunglasses away, and there are the sunglasses that you were looking for. And you think to yourself, what the heck? Now, most people just dismiss that and say, I must have been blind or something when this happened. They don't realize that that's actually them moving from 5D down to 3D when they got anxious, looking for them. When they put them down on their first errand, they were in 5D. When they came back from their second errand, they were in 5D, so they can easily see them. But when you are anxious and worried, that's a 3D emotion, and you couldn't see them. And initially, when this started happening to me, I asked, where did my stuff go? And I was always told by my guides, well, it's in a higher dimension. What I did not realize is that I was the person putting him there. And one day, I asked the big what question, and I encourage everybody to use that word more than any other word. Don't ask where, don't ask how, don't ask when, don't ask why, ask what. When you're just in, you know, you're having an experience, you're going, what the heck? What's going on? And that question is completely open-ended. And my guides came in and said, Maureen, you were in the higher dimension when you put it down. Mm. And everybody else is too. So that's happened to you. It's happened to our listeners. And what it means is they've been fifth dimensional and didn't know it. Another way to describe fifth dimension is to say it's the equivalent of what we've been taught by our traditions as heaven. Mm-hmm. That's why when I tell everyone to have a day of heaven on earth, I'm literally blanketing them with the energy of 5D, and they are going to have a heavenly day.
Well, I am excited about the fact that it's something, it's a process I'm involved in as well. I'm giving it a shot, you know, doing the best I can with it, just like we all are. And that's one of those things that I think that challenges each one of us from that standpoint is that we just we get distracted so easily, you know, and I think that that's one of the things too that sort of challenges us. I personally believe that there are no such things as coincidences. I do believe in coincidences. It's a turn of the term, but nonetheless, it's one of those things where things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why this or that or the other happened. And you have to come to a place where you acknowledge the fact that there is no wasted time. I used to think when I was early on in my career that when I took a job in a warehouse or when I went to work for a multi-level marketing company, I really wanted to be in radio, but there was nothing available at that moment. So I took those jobs because, well, I needed to have the money.
Sure.
And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be wasted time. And then I got to thinking about it. And even though it seemed as though on the surface, there wasn't a whole lot in this job that was very helpful. I actually brought forward some things that were very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But it took time for me to get to that space. And I think that's one of the things that we have to acknowledge. I mean, we talk about, as you and I have discussed before, we've talked about finding one's purpose and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking for, the direction, and so forth. How does the Akashic Record, and we'll talk about accessing it here in just a few moments, opening the Akashic Record. And the beautiful thing I like about this is you don't need a library card. You are the library card. But how would the Akashic Records help us, this information that's out there? I mean, you said, don't ask any other question, and I believe it was what?
Mm-hmm.
Ask
what? That's when you're walking around in life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And or when you're in meditation, you're asking the what questions about what has happened. But when you're in the records, they're going to give you the why whether you ask it or not, which is kind of funny, but it's true. So first of all, let's start with what the Akashic Records are. And they are the field of information that is the record of everything we've ever done, everything we're currently doing, and the potential and probable futures. So if I'm thinking about flying to Los Angeles tomorrow, and then I buy an airline ticket, so I'm funding that trip with my energy and my money. If I don't show up for the flight and don't go, then that potential fades away, and it literally fades away. And this is in alignment with quantum physics, by the way. David Deutsch, the famous UK quantum physicist, talks about the many worlds view. And he calls it the collapse model when he tries to explain how come we only see one. And his collapse model says, well, the one you see is the one then that is the one that lasts, or the one that does exist. But we're creating our future as we go, and we're creating our present as we go. And this whole idea of the Akashic Records is a way to find out why things are going down the way they are, why someone is acting the way they're acting, why something is happening a certain way. And what does that do for you? It makes you a better person. And I'll give a very simple example. If we make a date to meet for lunch and I no-show, you're not going to be happy about that. You're not going to feel good about that. But then if I call you later and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry I left you hanging at lunch. I was in a fender bender. My car got totaled. I'm fine. But my sister was with me, got hurt, and I went to the hospital with her, blah, blah, blah. So you're going to be concerned about me and my family, and you're going to express compassion, and you're going to be fine with that. But if I don't call you and give you that information, and you call me and say, what the heck? I might tell you what happened, you're still going to feel a little miffed because you're thinking to yourself, she could have called me. She could at least send me a text. And so we have these little judgments that we put on people based on our expectations on their behavior. And that's all of our resistance. But when you're in the records, they will actually show you and help you understand not only why people are behaving that way, but you can actually sometimes feel their feelings. And I'll give you a lovely example. One of the ways I teach includes having someone ask their own guidance for a question and then asking the same question when they're approaching the Akashic Records. And she was asking about her daughter, who was over 35, had a trust fund. Everybody had a trust fund. Everybody, the father had passed away early, but he was quite well off and made sure everybody was well cared for. And he then, she wanted her daughter to move out. The two younger siblings had already moved out, and she was kind of anxious because she was ready to have her own private time. And, you know, typical things when two women are in the same kitchen, they move the cookie jar to one spot and the other person puts it in a different spot and they like it there better, you know, that kind of drama. But it's irritating and annoying. So she was asking about it. And she was told to be more patient with her daughter and to try to understand that she was afraid by her higher self, by her guidance. When she was in the records, the record keeper said to her that you have no idea how afraid she is to be out on her own. And then she felt her daughter's fear, which she wasn't expecting at all, but she literally could feel how afraid she was. Then they said to her, she will always be there for you when you need her. And that's not something she had thought of. You know, in the West, parents don't put that thing on their kids. You have to take care of me when I'm old, like they do in Asia or Asian culture. Mm-hmm. So it hadn't even occurred to her that she might be in a place where she would need someone to look after her. And it made her weep. The emotion of the fear that she felt of her daughter and the emotion of being cared for in old age just made her weep. And she called me and she said, Maureen, I started to cry when I got this information. I was so astounded and surprised. And from that point forward, her daughter didn't bother her like it used to. So she changed. Now, you know, another 5 years go by or 10 years go by and the daughter finally did move out and is quite happy. And they still, you know, get together and do family gatherings and things like that. And that turned out very, very well. But she had the blessing of the information from the Akashic Record Keepers that allowed her to change her position of, I'll call it a little bit of edgy defiance, you know, why are you still here, to deep compassion and appreciation that had not occurred to her.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well,
so whenever you find yourself asking why, then go in the records. And if you're just having something strange happen, you know, like things going bump in the night or stuff happening, ask the what question. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'll get really cool information. You know, you experience some strange thing you're seeing in the sky or something happens to you physically. What is going on?
Yeah.
And every time I ask that question, I get big answers.
Yeah. The one question that came to my mind as you were talking about this, when something like that happens, and it's kind of interesting that you should mention a car accident, because back on November 7th, I was involved in a non-injury car accident that was not my fault, that led us down an interesting path. And of course, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so she just asked the question, what? So my first question would be, what the hell, man?
Yeah, but not what the H, but right. What's going on.
What's going on?
The what part's good.
And believe it or not, well, believe it or not, in spite of the expletive there, I did ask, and it was like the answer came rather quickly, and it came not in a way that most people would expect. You'd think, okay, I'd get an impression. I'd maybe hear the words in my head or something of this nature. But the gentleman and I who had been in the accident, his wife / girlfriend, again, I don't know what the relationship was, but they knew each other. She was on the phone already as he was taking pictures of the accident and I was making my phone calls. But I could hear her across the street, just the epitome of calmness. And now I'm making my calls and I get my, 911 and the insurance company and my wife is the epitome of calmness. And then the police show up, the police officer, he shows up. And wouldn't you know it? A trifecta of calmness, calmness. And it was really quite incredible. So it was at that point, And it was fairly early on in the process that following the initial maybe 15, 30 seconds of being shaken up, I began to make the phone calls and so forth. And I began to realize that this gentleman lives in this small community where I live here in Santa Barbara. It's a small fishing village, as some people like to say. He and I, we're going to come across each other's paths again somewhere down the road. And so I need to make sure that in addition to taking care of business, okay, doing all of the right things in that regard and staying calm, I make sure that I diffuse any future frustrations on both our parts. And so I went over and I extended my hand and I said, I'm glad that we're both okay. Now let's go out. I said to him, I said, now go out and go out and make it a better day than this, because I'm going to. And he at that moment was not looking too happy, and his arms were crossed in front of him, and his arms came down and he shook my hand and he laughed a little bit. And this was in front of his friend as well as the police officer. And I feel like, okay, we're good. You know, I mean, yes, there's a lot of work yet to be.
5D thing. You did that in that moment. You went 5D. You allowed the awareness of this, you know, the trifecta of calmness to influence you proactively, positively, and you slipped right into 5D. Because you could have, you know, said, well, you know, my insurance company will be in touch with your insurance company or some other parting remark. Mm-hmm. And instead, you just said, look, buddy, I know you hit me, but hey, I'm cool. You're cool. Let's make it fine.
Yeah.
And that's spectacular. That's 5D. Because in 5D, it doesn't mean everything's perfect. What it means is that we don't get freaked out about everything.
Exactly. Now, there's another element, too, I want to bring in here as far as, again, going 5D. And it's this analogy that I've been developing over the last couple of years that I've been sharing on this program, and it sort of has developed as I've shared it, having to do with the macrocosmic, I'll call it mid-cosmic and microcosmic worlds.
Okay.
And this is basically how this is basically my observation, that in the macrocosmic world, the universe, the solar systems and galaxies and so forth, things are in constant motion. And as such, sometimes, you know, you have some explosions, you have other little situations that develop, the universe just does what it does. Now, we look through the Hubble telescope and we're seeing all of these activities going on out there, right? Mm-hmm. And we sit there, wow, that's spectacular. Then you go to the mid-cosmic and you have the same kind of spiraling and crashing into, like my little non-injury accident. And we just go nuts. We go crazy because, you know, what are you doing? What the? And then on the microcosmic level, let's just say everything is moving along hunky-dory on the cellular, subatomic, atomic, and subatomic levels. The spinning. See, to me, when I saw in biology class in grade school the diagrams, you know, the mobiles of the atom with the nucleus and the protons, electrons, neutrons, and so forth, and all that spinning. And then in science class, you saw the solar system that we are in, the Milky Way, and you saw our solar system with the nine planets and spinning around the sun. I'm going, you know, those kind of look similar, you know. When things are functioning well on that lower level, that micro level, we kind of, when we look through the microscope, wow, that's kind of cool. So I was thinking, correct me if I'm wrong here, but on the macro and micro levels, there's no judgment. There's no duality. It just is what it is. I even throw out this. Under what system of government does the micro and the macro world function? Now, I'm sorry to say that you have to throw out democracy right away, because if the cells of the human body decided they wanted to work under democracy, the body would cease to exist, because every one of them would want their own individuality, and they want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and life, liberty, and property, and so on and so forth, right? So it's almost as if, to me, nature is that great teacher that we need to get. To me, that isn't that kind of where the fifth dimension is, that when we're in living in the fifth dimension, there is no duality. We're just accepting and certainly doing the things that need to be done, but we're just saying this is just what is.
It is true that in 5D, there's no resistance. And that's probably the number one thing. There's no resistance. We experience everything as a joyful experience. So the idea that we could access the Akashic Records, this record of everything we've ever done, to learn something is because humans have emotions. Humans have interactions and reactions. And certainly we are influenced by mass media and other forms of communication that have kind of pushed us to think one thing or another. So when we're in the records, we get the full story or the bigger picture. And that's really what's so amazing. And I agree that the nature teaches us so much about how the world works, and that the macrocosm and the microcosm share so much. So there's no issue there. I will tell you, though, that physicists, because I've read a lot of physics, physicists don't say that the electron and the proton rotate around the nucleus, because they pop in and out of existence. There is no rotation. And they use that model because we were kids and that's what we could understand.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. But anyway, I don't know. All I know is what I saw in the models in school, and it worked then, you know. But that's also another interesting aspect to it all. From my perspective, and that is that we seem to gather new information here, but the information contained in the Akashic Records, that's isn't that pretty well set, shall we say? Is that the right way to put that?
Isn't it really, what was the word?
Isn't it already set? I mean, isn't it already put in place?
No, the only thing that's set is the thing that has actually happened. So, you know, you have contracts and you have soul agreements, and you can even change those. So the only thing that's set is the stuff that's already occurred. And even then you can go back and reframe it and give it a new lineage, and it'll change the record. The record is so alive and so fluid that it reacts to you. It reacts to me. It reacts to us. And because of that, we have the ability to gather information about what other people are doing and why they're doing it, and perhaps choose differently than we would have chosen otherwise. And that impacts us proactively, because when you learn something about why somebody was doing something, you know, for example, let's say the guy that hit you turns out that he's a super wealthy business person. And he's got some extra money he's been looking to invest it, but he hasn't figured out what he wants to do with it. And then he runs across you at a Kiwanis meeting or some other place that, you know, he wasn't expecting, but you have a chance to visit, and you tell him what you're doing. And he says, you know, I'm going to invest in you. You know, you really turned my head when my car hit your car. And I was totally impressed by the way you acted. I want to be able to do that more. And I want to see what you do, you know, hit the streets more so more people can benefit. Mm-hmm. Something wacky like that can happen. And that's why we stay in wonder. And that's why the Akashic Records are so powerful, because they can help you address every situation. And they're going to take you where you're at. You know, I recently was in the records for myself asking about a home purchase that we're making. And it was so funny because the record keepers didn't answer my question. They started telling me how I was too tired and I was not getting enough rest. I needed to take better care of myself and I was pushing myself too hard, blah, blah, blah. And I actually re-asked the question, and they just said, yes, of course you're going to get the home of your dreams. But the most important thing for me to know in that moment was not to push so hard and to give myself more rest, which I had not done. And the amazing thing in the records is they will always give you the answer. And on a rare occasion, something like that will happen. Normally, they will just answer you and then tell you something about why. or how to interact to make it work. You know, and in a way, it's like your wife, the partner to the guy, and the policeman, they were the equivalent of the record keepers, and they just elevated you right into your 5D place.
I mean, it was quite a remarkable experience, to say the very least. I still marvel at that unfolded, you know.
Yeah, and I agree that this guy's going to circle back around, and there's something good that's going to come out of what happened.
Yeah.
And it's going to be totally amazing, and you're going to be doing the happy dance.
Yeah, and I think, too, that a lot of folks, they do. They get stuck. They absolutely, we all do. We get stuck in that mindset of, you know, and we really do need to find a way to let it go, because if we don't, it follows us around. It hampers our ability to grow. It hampers our ability to make the choices that we want, because we're making choices now based upon, you know, the
limited information.
Yeah.
And, you know, your comment about we need to find ways to, you know, unhook from some of these dramas is so true. And that's one of the benefits of being in the Akashic Records, is the record keepers will give a person information that is so helpful that your decision to do one thing, you don't even want to do it. You want to do something different. And I'll give you an example. One of my students in the current classes wrote about her, actually two students, I asked them to write about something that happened that they weren't happy about. And both women chose to write about their spouse, their husbands. And God knows that women have unfair, unrealistic expectations of our husbands, because we forget they're not like women. And women operate differently than men. Anyway, so this, both of them were saying they didn't like what their husband did or was doing. You know, his actions were agitating me or whatever. And in both cases, the record keepers explained that it was them that was the problem, in such a sweet, loving way, and then say, just, you know, try to ignore it and try to figure out what actually is really bothering you, so you don't put it on him.
Mm.
Now that can help save a marriage.
Now that is, in my opinion, that is some serious growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. That is quite remarkable. And to some folks, that would be a very difficult place to come from, because we are. And this is what really bothers me about a lot of the television programs that portray the husband-wife relationship, and that is that it's a battle to be won.
Mm.
And I sit here thinking about that, and I'm going, wait a minute. These two decided to be in relationship together, okay? And whether you want to go down one path or another as far as the diagramming of it, if you will, okay? The two become one. They're working as a team. You don't work against each other. It's not about the you know, the one-upsmanship, if you will. It's about working together as a team. And that's
right.
What really bothers me about the portrayal of husbands, wives, partners, just in general. Let me put it that way. Partners is that dynamic that is literally so adversarial. It's like, are you kidding? Come on.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, because a man chooses to be with a woman for the feminine aspect of,
mm-hmm,
within her.
Right.
And a woman chooses a man for different kinds of reasons, for his leadership, his skills at problem solving, and his ability to take care of her. But when they are in situations, what happens is the woman feels like she's not understood. And because the man is so busy trying to solve it, she's trying to say, I don't need you to solve it. I need you to hear me. And so sometimes men are so quick to step into the hero that they forget that what the woman really needs is the shoulder. Give me your shoulder, honey.
Yeah.
Let me cry on your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting one of the things that I teach people is to use the phrase, her wisdom, his way. And the way that plays out is when you load up the dishwasher. And a lot of guys like to do the dishes to express their gratitude that their beloved is making dinner. So if it's at her house and he starts to load up the dishwasher and she's thinking, oh, I always do it this way, or I like to do it this way. She starts telling him, he can turn around and say, do you want me to do this or not? Because it's her wisdom. This is how I do it. But then she has to walk away and let him decide if he wants to use it. Mm-hmm. Because men have to be action oriented. They have to make that action step. And women are wisdom keepers. And so they need to express their wisdom. And so what's important for a guy is to say, I need to know how you think about this. I need to know what you think about this. And then I'll tell you what I want to do. And then they work it out. But a lot of times there isn't that mutual relationship where the husband gets it. And when a woman tells him something, she's not saying, honey, would you please solve it? I just want you to listen and how frustrated I am about blah, blah, blah. And that's a very curious experience. And that in the records, what happens is the record keepers calls you out. And when you've written it, you know, you've heard it in your head and you write it out, and it flows through you so easily, without effort, without thinking, without going through your brain thinking stuff. And you look at what you've written, you go, oh man. But then, because it came from your hand through your connection, mm-hmm. you accept that information and you decide, okay, I'm going to lay off him. I'm going to be a better spouse and recognize when I was driving this or when he was. And the interesting thing is there's a great story about a woman who was overworked at her job, and she had a lot of paperwork as well as a lot of clients to see. She was in like physical therapy, and she kept going back to the owner of the company and saying, look, can you not schedule me so tightly? I can't see this many people and get all the paperwork done that's required for the insurance. And it didn't seem to matter that she was always heavily booked. And so she, little by little, became more and more resentful. So one day, she had been planning on leaving to start her own business. And so once she was ready to do that, she gave very little notice and just, you know, up and walked away. So now she's in the records with me, and she's asking about this event of her record keepers. Because, again, I like to invite people to work with whatever's in front of them. So name it, you know, difficult situation and what I know about it. And the record keeper said to her, you know, you were very unkind by not giving them a full notice. And the people you hurt were the people you love the most, which is the support staff. And you were trying to send a message to the owner, but it would have been far more effective if you'd just spoken up and said, I am leaving because of this, and I just can't take the weight, you know, the workload anymore. And she said, you know, I had so much righteous indignation about how they treated me that I felt justified in treating them that way until I opened the records. So that's, again, a way to learn, and that's really powerful. It's not easy being married to me, but at the same time, my husband gets the benefit of me stepping up and saying, you know, I was crabby with you this morning because I didn't feel good and I had a headache and I didn't want to complain, so I was just crabby and I'm really sorry I did that. He doesn't have to say to me, honey, what's wrong with you? Why are you so crabby? Why are you crabbing on me? He just, you know, smiled through it or loved me anyway, and I step up. And that's another benefit of the records, is it teaches you how to own your stuff and to pull out of that stuff you've been doing. And that's fabulous, because we all want to be better people. We all want to be kinder. We all want to be sweeter and more gracious, evidence of the great story you told about the car accident. And yet we don't always have the ability to do it in the moment. Certainly in your case, you implied that you weren't in that peaceful state when this was going down. Mm-hmm. And yet, by example, and the record keepers would be like the example, you change.
Yeah. And I would have to say that the plus for me was that the place where I was that I described as being shaken up, and that's usually what happens. You get jolted in your physical body, and it kind of shakes you up. It rattles your cage a little bit. But I wasn't in that state of anger and aggression and wanting to get out of the car and pound on his door and say, what the, you know, go off on that tangent. It was more like, oh my gosh. And I was actually kind of, I think my hands were shaking a little bit. It wasn't the first one I'd been involved in, but it was certainly more of a head-on kind of thing in that respect. And it was more, okay, you need to take an assessment. All right. Forget about the car. How are you? Are you feeling okay? Did you hit anything? Did you bang your arm on the door? Did you hit your chest on the steering wheel? It's, you know, doing that physical assessment. Okay. All right. You're all good. No bleed, no blood, no bruises. All right. So let's go ahead and get out of the car and we'll begin that process. And I think it was after I got out of the car, that's when I realized that I needed to be in that space because of the description that I gave earlier of basically saying to this to the gentleman again, you know, this was no fun. This is not something you want to do every day. So let's not do this every day. Let's go do something else that makes us happy, that lightens us up, you know, you know, and it's not a question of I forgive you, okay, or I forgive me. It's just a question of just letting it go. You know, the guy didn't do it. It wasn't. That was one of the lessons I learned years ago here, driving here in California. And this is one crazy place to drive, let me tell you. Although Phoenix is no picnic either. And that was the fact that these individuals, this gentleman, he did not wake up this morning being given the task, okay, let's run into Richard's car. Let's get him. I was taught that it wasn't personal, and I took that two ways. One was, oh, thank goodness it's not personal. And what do you mean it's not personal? You mean he doesn't care enough about me? You know, it's like, wait a minute. But that helped to put it into a lighter perspective, and I began to realize, oh, gotcha. That makes perfect sense. I get it. And I really, really felt good about all of that. I mean, you know, it just made all the difference in the world. And now I'm trying, as I go through my day, whether it's dealing with programmers or advertisers or my boss or the other coworkers here, or if I'm out, you know, walking Santa Barbara, walking the streets just for exercise, I go into a shop or a restaurant or what have you, and things don't go quite according to plan. I got into a line the other day, you know, and I thought, oh, good grief. And I think the person up at the checkout stand was writing a check or doing something that was taking a long time. And it was another one of those moments to shift. Mm-hmm. As we continue talking here about opening the Akashic Records, which we are going to do when we come back from our break, I want you to help us to define a couple of terms. And there's also something else I want to go into. Folks, where you're going to go to, if you had your hymnal with you, would be Appendix A. I want to talk about the code of ethics in this regard. And we're going to continue talking with Maureen St. Germain here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. The library will be open in just a moment.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. This is a program that we are devoting to the Akashic Records, and we are here with Maureen St. Germain, and we're talking about how you can meet your record keepers and discover your soul's purpose. Can you give us your definition, or the definition, and hopefully they're one and the same, but maybe not, of the word Akashic? What does that mean and refer to specifically, aside from the records?
Okay, well, that's a great question, and a lot of people do get confused. Number one, the word Akashic comes from the Sanskrit word sky, And initially, the whole idea of Akasha meant the vastness of all of the universe, anything that happens that's out of the physical realm of definition. And so when we refer to Akasha, we might be talking in broad brushstrokes, in broad terms. And when we refer to the Akashic Records, we're referring to a very precise zone within the 11th dimension where the information about a person or a place or a planet exists. And there are people who will say that Akasha is everything that's supernatural or the Akash. And to me, that's kind of like a misnomer because it's simply not the record place. And the other thing that we want to be aware of is this information in the Akashic Records was called the Book of Life in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament, mostly in Old Testament. And what we find is the modern mystic, Edgar Cayce, and he died in the mid-40s, and he was able to go into a trance and access information about a client and what their health needs were and what their remedies might be. And when he was asked where he was getting the information, he would say, well, from the energy field of the person and the Akashic Records. And the important thing to understand here is that Akashic Records is more of a modern term that has come into use through the efforts of Madame Blavatsky of Theosophical Society back in the 40s, and then Edgar Cayce using that same term. But prior to that, it was called the Book of Life. And when Cayce was asked in a trance, what are the Akashic Records, he referred, it is the Book of Life that you read about in the Old Testament, in the Book of Revelations and other places. So it's the concept of some kind of a data set that holds all of your activity that you've ever done in a non-biased place has been around for centuries. But we've only recently been using the term Akashic Records. And more recently, in the last 20 or 30 years, people have begun to be aware of this concept of the Akashic Records, which is a separate domain of energy. I don't like to use the word place because then people think it's somewhere, you know, like above California or something. And it's a dimensional thing. It's a dimensional shift. You know, if you ever saw that movie Contact, where Jodie Foster literally shifted dimensions, and then she's having this experience with what turns out to be her father, there's this quality that it's very real for her. And yet, the tape is completely blank. They're not getting any record of it because she's interdimensional at that point. And so it is an interdimensional arena that's very precise and has very specific boundaries to it, if you will.
So let's open the library, as it were. Would the nearest physical material comparison be maybe along the lines of what I've heard of anyway, like the library at Alexandria, just a huge, I mean, it sounds to me like the Akashic Records, this whole arena, if you will, is infinite as far as the information that is available.
Well, I don't call it infinite because remember, it is a record of activity.
So there is a certain finiteness to it.
A finality, of course, because we haven't done everything we're going to do. So there's a lot more that's going to go into it. So it couldn't be infinite. It can only have a record of what we have done or are thinking about or thinking about doing.
I have this checklist and I finished the checklist, so I can go now. Doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. All right, let's talk about the code of ethics, which I find very interesting. There is a part of me that when I start looking at something like a code of ethics, and again, I guess it's because I'm a little more on the idealistic side than I am the cynical side, because I find it fascinating that, for example, our governmental body has to have a committee on ethics. It's like, you guys don't know how to do the right thing? And maybe, and that really comes down to it is, no, sometimes we get caught up in reacting to certain things because of a lot of the experiences that we've had in our lives in previous years. Let's talk about this code of ethics. How is this? Is this something that was transmitted by the guides? Is this something that they have laid out that you've then put into print?
It's not 100% from the record keepers. A lot of it is from my experiences and working with people. And it's almost a no-brainer for someone like you. Of course I would do those things. But it also lays out the idea that I'm willing to step up and abide by this protocol. And the code of ethics is meant to inspire a person and to know that anybody who trains with me is going to be operating at this level. Anyone who gets certified by me is going to be operating at this level. And that's a safety factor for somebody who doesn't know anything about what we're doing or how we're doing it, and yet they still want to have an Akashic Records reading, to know that we follow this code of ethics and that we agree that we want this organization to proceed and we want to support one another. There's a quality here where we agree to promote the group, to take an egalitarian approach, so that if I can't do a reading or a session with someone, then I suggest to the client, look, if you're in a big hurry, why don't you have it from somebody on my team? And the guides themselves, the people who are on my website, are also willing to trade with one another. And I've trained thousands of people, but not everybody wants to play that way, and or they want to do their own thing, so they don't want to be on my website and have the opportunity that they get from being with me and having this high standard. Mm-hmm. And that's okay too. Yeah. You know?
And you know, it's interesting how I observe in the material world a lot of this not doing the right thing. I was even talking with somebody the other day about, for example, some of the efforts that are being made by a lot of private citizens and private companies in the United States, and also trying to encourage our respective state, local state, and national governments to participate in helping as the way it's put is, you know, to help to avert climate change. That, you know, because man apparently has had some involvement in accelerating the process. And if we do some stuff now, then we can make those changes. And they said, and this person I was conversing with said, well, yeah, but no other country is doing anything, so why should we? And that raised the question to them, well, then unless you know that your neighbors are cleaning their houses and mowing their lawns and taking out their garbage, unless you know that, are you going to stop doing those things? Well, of course not.
Well, there's another question in there, too, and that is, if they're not doing anything, how come? Maybe they know something we don't know, and maybe we aren't causing climate change. Well, maybe it's the sun that's causing the climate change.
And that certainly is valid, but I take this point. I will throw climate change out and say, don't you think it would just be a good idea if we cleaned up our home? Forget climate change. Forget whether or not man has, and again, this is a side subject. This is something very specific, but it kind of goes back to that whole thing about ethics and doing the right thing. If nobody was watching you, would you do the right thing? I talk to people about this. You're out in the middle of, Wyoming somewhere, okay? Out in the flatlands. And there are these four roads that converge at an intersection, and it's a four-way stop. It is not signaled. It has stop signs. And it's 2 a.m. in November. And it's there's no snow. It's just cold as all get out. Would you stop at that stop sign? And some people say no. I say, well, why not? So, well, because there's no other cars around. Why shouldn't I just go on through? He says, yeah, but don't you believe in the whole aspect of developing a pattern? What difference does it make if anybody's coming? If you start altering the pattern, then when you're in the middle of the city and you see a stop sign, don't you think there's the chance you might blow on through it?
You're absolutely right.
So that's kind
and,
of where...
know, this is true. This is true with lots of things, that mm-hmm. people are influenced by the people yeah. around them. And that part of what happens in the Akashic Records is you get another layer of influence to the benefit of your evolution. So even if you're surrounded by people who are making choices that aren't ideal, you're still getting good advice from the record keepers and can stay in your place, your place of centeredness and heart and directive to your divine self.
Yeah. Well, it is something that, you know, we need to be looking at as we go through our lives. And I guess that's one of the aspects of living a conscious life, is in being able to address these kinds of questions.
Well, you know, I think humanity has not caught up with its spirituality. And so what that means is spirituality has not caught up with technology. You know, if you have somebody who owns a factory that makes bread and their sales are terrific and they're, you know, well off and everything's going well, but then they discover an additive that they've been using that makes the bread taste good and makes people buy more, is causing a health problem. Well, if your spirituality is at the level your technology is, you're going to take that out and find a substitute or go without. But if your spirituality is lagging behind the technology, you think the only choice you have is to go with the technology and stick with what you've been doing.
Yeah. When how do we, and it's, I would say that the book certainly will help us to find the keepers of the gate of Akasha. And this is information that has been channeled through you, Maureen. And this in particular was on the summer solstice 2017, having to do with a message from the keepers of Akasha. Now, Akasha isn't necessarily a place, is it?
No. Well,
I mean, it is, but it isn't.
Everything that is non-physical. I mean, in the broadest sense of the term, it represents everything that's non-physical.
Right.
Is something that's non-physical, is that a place? And the answer is, I don't know. But even that message is from the keepers of the gates of the Akashic Records, not just Akasha.
So tell us about, I'm going to use the example, if I can, more metaphorically, of when we approach the library, if you will. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get in the front door?
You get in the front door with a special prayer that you learn to use in a very special way. And then you practice and get good at it. And because there's a dispensation, because of me being a teacher and the others that are teachers, there is the dispensation that the teacher brings in to help the student learn. And then they get familiarity. So it's a little bit like when you get on the phone with somebody that you know well, even if you don't see who it is on your phone ID, you know who it is.
Hmm.
And that's what happens when you're in the records. And I teach people very specific ways to know that they're in the records, specific ways to know that it is the record keepers that are speaking through them. And it is possible to think you're in the records and not be. It is also possible to be in the records and not know it. And so there are people that will, without even being aware of it, bring in information that's coming directly from the Akashic Records. And that's a big blessing. But our way of doing it is simply to learn the protocol and use the protocol as your on-ramp. And you know, I like to say, you know, when I grew up on the farm, all the farm kids knew how to drive a car when it was time. They didn't need driver's ed, but the rest of us did.
Mm. Yeah.
So we look upon this and say, you know, it's not the only way. And I really feel very strongly, my way is not the only way, but it is a really good way and it is extremely effective. And I was tapped to do this work. I didn't say, oh, I want to start teaching this. It wasn't like that at all. I was tapped. I was given a message that someone had a message for me. And when I called that astrologer and said, are you going to update my chart? She said, no, I was told to give you a message and not to update your chart. And the message is, you are being given access to a dimension that has been closed to humanity for eons. and you're being given a personal guide for the rest of your life, and a bunch of other stuff that was a little more personal. And I went back into the altar and asked, how come you guys didn't tell me that? And they said, you've had enough teachers who were self-aggrandizing, making themselves important, making themselves special, that you wouldn't have believed it if we had told you directly. So now I'm starting to feel a little special. Gosh, I've been given access to this, you know, this special place. So then I asked, am I the only one? No. There goes that one. And I'm laughing at myself here. I'm telling you, you know, that it doesn't take much to make us think a little better of ourselves, and we have to be careful. And in the records, they will call you out when you're behaving that way. And they won't do it in a mean way. They'll just, you know, we notice, blah, blah, blah. And they're very loving. That's another way you know you're in the records. If you think you're scribing from the records and you're hearing harsh words, that is not your record keepers, because it's not possible for them to speak harshly. And that's kind of a cool thing once you kind of get the hang of that. And there's lots of other ways that I teach people. I have a whole list that I make them check off. Did I get this? Did I get this? So it's quite amazing. And I will tell you, you know, I must be from the show me state, because when I was first given the information, you know, that you will just use this little prayer, I thought to myself, no way, no way, that's not possible. But it is. Mm. And once I gave myself permission to believe that, then it was done.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Maureen St. Germain, and she is the founder of Transformational Enterprises and Akashic Record Guides International, which is an internationally recognized, she's a recognized teacher, and as well as an intuitive, and also the author, an author musician. She's also a producer of more than 15 guided meditation CDs. And I have to tell you, I've produced a few of those in my time, and they're not easy to produce sometimes, because, boy, you've got to get everything just right, because you don't want anything distracting from that. And they're very, very helpful. And you're also the author of 4 books, of course, including Waking Up in Fifth Dimension as well. And I find it fascinating that more people don't know about this. And yet at the same time, as you just referred, there are some people that they don't know about it, and yet they're accessing it even now. When someone, if you've ever come across someone who's been accessing and just wasn't aware of it, and you make them aware of it, how does that change their perspective on that, I want to say, inner voice or intuitive voice that's coming through?
In most of the people that this would occur, they're already devout individuals. So you don't see a transformation like you might in a dramatic shift of, oh, wow, that's coming from the records. That's cool. On occasion, somebody who is, I'll say, a newbie or new to this kind of work gets very profound information, and somebody, oh, that came from the records. And everyone laughs, and it is like this, aha, I can tap in, or I am tapped in. And it's more of a reverence kind of a reaction than anything that I've seen.
Mm. And it does have to be, as you said before, you didn't choose this. You were sort of selected. And to that end, it's one of those things. It's like the divine tapped you on the shoulder and say, hey, I've got a very special task for you. That's got to feel
it's time.
Yeah, and that's got to feel special. That's got to make you feel special.
It did, until I asked if I was the only one. And then I really laughed at myself for even thinking that I was special. And that's important, that we laugh at ourselves and we look at, mm-hmm. wait a minute, I'm not so special. I'm just like everybody else, doing the best I can. And sometimes I'm cool and sometimes I'm not, because if we think we're special, we're an ego. And if we think we're doing the right thing and no one else is, we're an ego. It is when we can say about ourselves, I'm doing the best I can. I'm choosing to make the wisest choice I can make, then that's not about being right or wrong. That's about doing the best you can.
Well, and of course, as I have said many, many times on this program, the universe is asking the questions, and I'm just along for the ride. I have no clue what's coming up in the interview, in the conversation that we're going to have. All I know is we're going to have a conversation, I don't want the setups to the interview to be too cumbersome. I would love to just say, okay, yeah, let's do it on this date and this time, and we're going to do it via Skype, and pop, pop, pop. Okay, we're good. We're confirmed. It's good to go when we do the interview, and all is well. But one of the things I've noticed is that when it's a challenge to get the guest scheduled, and we go back and forth, and then the day of my accident, I was supposed to have an interview with a guy. And I even called him at the time while I was standing outside the car. I said, I can't make it. Had a little incident. I'll call you later. And he understood. And it took another couple of times. And the interview was fantastic. And I've learned over the years that when those interviews take time to set up and they're challenging, it only means that they're going to be really good. The information that's transmitted is going to be really incredible from this particular individual. And again, that's not to diminish anybody else's contribution such as yours, but it's just one of those experiences that I've had, and it happens time and time again. And I try not to get too wound up into those kinds of things, saying, hey, you know what? Hey, it'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that... Now, let me ask you again a little more defining of the Akashic Records from the standpoint. You say that they're finite in that not everything, we haven't done everything yet. So this has nothing to do with future, even though it's been said that everything, we're doing past, present, and future multidimensionally right now.
Well, when we're doing those things that you call the future, we're actually doing them in the present. We're not doing them in the future. So it is a present in another dimension that allows us to be there instead of here.
Okay.
So it's still about the present. And the reason that I want to be really clear about it doesn't dictate or tell us what's going on or what's going to happen is because we always have free will. I encounter people all the time who know that somebody that they're working with has a contract with them, you know, a soul contract, and they're asking them to step into it a little more powerfully. And what happens is when you, let's say you took a big upgrade or merged with a higher version of yourself or something like that happened with you, and this does happen to people, and then your mission would change slightly and you would maybe be exposed to a different kind of audience. Maybe you'd be told to, you know, go take your show somewhere that you hadn't taken it, or go see some people about taking it to the next level, whatever it is. And you hesitate, you're not sure you're going to get accepted, you don't want to deal with it, you got stuff going on at home, whatever it is. So you drag your feet. So then at some point, there's this decision. Maybe I don't want to do that. I'm looking at the other guys who've done what I was talking about doing, and they're having a really rough time, you know. And somebody, you know, look at all the doctors that got murdered for being healthy and teaching people how to be healthy. Maybe I don't want to put myself at that risk. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't want to do that. So you choose not to. That's free will.
Absolutely.
And that does happen, where a person comes in with a mission or a plan, and even, you know, takes an upgrade, and the upgrade has a new mission and a new plan, and they have not integrated it fully, they still have to decide at the human level they're going to do it. And things change when you become a human. And, you know, remember that movie Avatar,
mm-hmm.
where there was a certain point where he decided not to follow orders and to do what he felt he needed to do?
Mm-hmm.
So he had a mission. He knew what he was supposed to do. It was already programmed. And that would be like us, you know, getting some kind of commitment that we'd made at some level, either before we came in or partway through. And then in the free will zone, decide, no, I don't think I want to do it that way. I think that's a really bad idea. And that's what he thought. He decided the military way was a really bad idea, and he was going to side with the natives and help them.
Yeah.
That's the free will card. And that's why there is what's called in the phone business redundancy. So there's always more people assigned to getting something done than there are doing it, because the free will card doesn't guarantee that you're going to follow through. And that's totally okay with God, by the way. God doesn't care. You're the one who cares. I want to please God. I want to do this to help the planet. And so you step up. But then, you know, if something gets in the way, you have a sick child and you need to take care of the child, you're going to say, look, I'm not leaving my baby. Sorry. I know I was supposed to do that. Find somebody else.
Yeah. And those are the times that you then have to start trusting that inner voice, if you will, and saying, okay, I'm gonna step out. I'm gonna do this. I know it isn't gonna be easy, but I know in my heart of hearts that I need to do this.
Like in Interstellar.
Yeah.
Where, what's his name? Chose to leave his family to go do this mission.
Yeah.
And yeah. How he cried when she accused him of abandoning him.
Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey.
Yeah. That really was
fabulous.
It really was. That and Contact were two fabulous movies. By the way, he was in both of those, come to think of it.
Yeah. He was the love interest. He played the priest.
Yeah. And
or the Episcopal priest, whatever.
He did. And I believe he ended up dying in that one.
I don't remember whether he died. I just remember thinking, this is a cool actor. Yeah. I'm going to follow him.
No, wait a minute. Maybe he didn't. I'm thinking of somebody else. Anyway, no, but those are fascinating. And then they bring up so many unbelievable questions as to, who are we? Where have we come from? Where are we going? The universal questions that we put out there. If one is not certain, they feel as though they've just kind of been floating around from one job to another, to from one thing to another, and they haven't been able to find their life's purpose. Will the records, going into the records, help them to find that or give them some kind of direction? Because
absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And there's tons of documented cases from the Edgar Cayce files where people who were lost and, you know, going from job to job, didn't know where they fit in. And then they were told to work with children, for example. And everything they did after that, they put themselves in, you know, working with children either as a job or helping as a volunteer. And they had a very happy and productive life. So absolutely, when you're floundering and you can't figure out why you can't get a job or why you can't find yourself, that's a great time to open the records and get some information on what you could be doing that would be helpful to you, that's in alignment with your purpose.
And again, go ahead.
Akashic records aren't a predictor of the future. They're not a psychic reading. They are for soul growth. And the reason they're for soul growth is the reason they were opened up is because we are at the end of an era. We're at the end of the Kali Yuga, as the Vedics will tell us. And that is the end of a 26,000 year cycle that allows us to move into a whole new way of being. And because of that, we need to catch up quickly. And we need to catch up in a way that allows us to get what we need to get and keep going on. I sometimes call the Akashic Records the open book test to life.
I like that.
And so, yeah, isn't that cool? So, you know, some engineers go to the test or the exam with the book because they need the tables or whatever they need, or with their calculator. And so it's like an open book test. If you open the book, you'll pass your test.
Ah, very good. I like that. It's not that hard to do. It really isn't. And besides, if you remember back in school when they said it was a closed book test, the cringe that went through you. And then the excitement when they said, no, this is open book. And if you highlighted the things that you thought you needed to remember, it made the test a whole lot easier. But at the same time, the information that's contained therein, and let's just theorize here because I'm wanting to understand this as well. As you say, there are some who they are already automatically tapping into that wisdom of the Akashic Records for their lives. When I made the decision that I made in that non-injury accident back on November 7th of 2018, was I, from your perspective, tapping into my own Akashic Records, or was that something else?
I think you were tapping into your 5D self and moving your awareness into a zone of unconditional love.
Okay. How would have my, and of course it's hard, you don't know when these kinds of things are going to happen, but how would going through my Akashic records have assisted me in that situation if that had not happened, if what you just described in the 5D stage did not happen?
So you're suggesting that you would have been a little bit cross with the guy, and yeah. then you would go and open your records?
Prior. Actually, prior. And again, as I say, there's no way for us to go and prepare for this.
Here's the thing. When you open the records regularly, you change, because getting information in the records makes you more compassionate, not only for the situation that you've learned about, but also for all the situations, because you suddenly realize there's a lot more going on than I realized. And that's a big aha. You know, initially when you're around people that believe what you believe and think how you think, if they do something that you wouldn't do, you're upset because you know they know better. But when you are in the records and you discover that there's something that you could have done better, that you didn't realize you could have done better, but you're being shown in a gentle and loving and supportive way that you could do this, what happens is that knowledge changes you, and then you apply it universally. So every time you're in the records, you're improving yourself and your life, because you're allowing yourself to be receptive to the possibility that things are not as they seem. And when you get that idea that things are not as they seem, then there's no reason to be cross or upset or judgmental. And that's very, very powerful. And it also then allows you and us to catch up, because there's a lot of what I will call esoteric knowledge that should be common knowledge. And you know that yourself from the radio show. There's a lot of things that somebody will say on the radio and you'll think, oh yeah, I know that's true. But then you talk to somebody in the street and they don't know that that's true. Mm. They don't have any idea. You know, I'll give you an example. Goosebumps. In my world, goosebumps are body confirmation. And I know for a fact that if I'm having a conversation and you say something that totally resonates with me, it's literally like ringing the bell of my body and I get goosebumps. Mm. And I'm sure it's happened to you. So I no longer call them goosebumps. I call them body confirmation. Mm. That's an example.
I know that when I have gone to intuitives or psychics or mediums or what have you years and years ago, I got to a point where I finally said, you know what? They don't have the answer. What they're doing is confirming the answer I already know within. And I know.
Yeah, but think about it. A lot of people don't have the self-confidence or the will to act on it. And when they know the answer inside of themselves, and then they hear it from a psychic or the Akashic records, they suddenly get it that they've been getting good information all along, and then they trust themselves. Because a lot of people were brought up in such a critical environment that they don't trust themselves because they were taught to not trust themselves. You know, mm-hmm. You'll never do anything. You'll never amount to anything. Those kinds of harsh statements keep them from trusting themselves. And a lot of activity in the Akashic records, the client will say, you know, I knew that. There's times when I've been told to give some really bad news, you know, like your husband's leaving you or whatever. And I don't want to be the person delivering it. And I'll say to the client, I'm getting information in response to your query that I'm very uncomfortable delivering to you. Because I don't want to tell them. And I'm setting the stage, because now when I say that, what happens is they'll say to me, you know, I already know the answer. I'm just looking for a confirmation. You can go ahead. I'm ready for this. Yeah. And so sometimes people need that extra kick in the pants. But you got to that place where you thought, oh, okay, I can kick myself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, very good. I find these conversations so interesting, because you just never know what's going to come up, as I said before. And obviously this information that we can tap into can be so beneficial. And I remember I have this wonderful little book that was given to me on my 21st birthday by a very dear friend of mine who lives back in Phoenix. She was my acting coach at the time, as well as a good friend in the first job I ever worked in radio, which I'm about to celebrate my 40th year. and it was called The Impersonal Life. And in it, it talked about the concept of reincarnation. And it said, basically, this is like God talking to you, that you think that when you do past life regressions, that you're tapping into lives you've lived in the past. But I am here to tell you that what you are tapping into are the manifestations of the lives that I have created. And I got to thinking about that in terms of, okay, so if that's true versus us living multiple lives, is the lesson, is what I'm going through past life regression for, is that meaning changed? And I realized it changes nothing, because the whole point, just like with the Akashic Records, is to learn the things that will help us to raise our consciousness, to live exactly better lives. Is there any other equivalency to the Akashic Records, or is this the main record that is available to us on any dimension?
It's the only record.
Okay.
There's only one. And everybody taps into it when they make a serious, pass at it, a serious attempt. Mm. And everyone has permission. And once in a while, I get a question like, well, you know, what about the person who has intentions to be using this information to, you know, get an unfair advantage? And I just laugh, because your vibration limits your capacity to get information that would hurt someone.
Mm-hmm. Or even yourself, like, for that matter, right?
Yeah. Or, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're not going to bring in information to hurt yourself. There's no question there.
Yeah.
It's not possible. It's not likely. In addition, if you wanted to get information so that you could use it against someone, it doesn't work that way. The system is aware of your own vibration and will limit your ability to get that kind of thing that would hurt someone.
Maureen St. Germain, I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us your latest work, Opening the Akashic Records. Meet your record keepers and discover your soul's purpose. The website we want to send people to is
www.maureenstgermain, MaureenStGermain.com.
All right. MaureenStGermain.com is the website. The book, again, Opening the Akashic Records. And I know that at least at present, you're way, way over on the East Coast. But I know that you, from time to time, do spend time in San Diego. And maybe one of these days, if you're taking a drive or what have you, maybe come up here to Santa Barbara and we'll have you in studio to continue this conversation. Because I always feel as though there's always so much more that we can impart.
Thank you. And, you know, you mentioned how, you know, the link to my website is free. And I want all your listeners to know that there's always lots of free stuff on my website. There right now, there's 3 downloads that are beautiful meditations that people can use. And they are also going to go for sale. So if they don't get them while they're up, then they get to buy them.
Get them now. I've got so many audio files from so many of my guests. I would probably have to take a sabbatical for a year and never sleep to listen to them all. And then I would have to wonder, okay, and in what mental state would I be following that kind of experience? It would be quite extraordinary. And before we let you go, I want to, first of all, again, thank you so much for giving us so much time here on the program, and ask you those 3 final questions that we probably did ask you at the end of the last interview. But for those who haven't listened to it yet, I'd like and who knows, maybe the answers have changed a little bit. First of all, who is Maureen St. Germain?
I am a practical mystic who is in love with my students and clients and God. And it is my deep pleasure to serve others. I've taught in 24 countries. My books are translated into 5 different languages, including Russian, German, and Chinese. And I consider it a deep privilege to do this work. I've, like a lot of people, had many jobs. I worked in corporate world. I'm a mother of 4 sons who are grown. And I am a woman who now lives in New York City and travels all over the world to do conferences and presentations. So I hope to see your people out and about.
That'd be very exciting. Secondly, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to help as many people as possible get connection with their divine wisdom channels so they always know the most ideal thing to do in any situation.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is to be of service, to lighten up the room,
to be
there for people.
Well, let's do that. Let's lighten up the world. And I think we need to lighten up, too, from time to time. And it would go a long way, shifting that vibration for everyone. Well, Maureen, again, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And I thank you for listening to Tell Me Your Story. Again, opening the Akashic Records, meet your record keepers, and to discover your soul's purpose. Maureen St. Germain, author of Waking Up in 5D. Go to her website, MaureenStGermain.com. We'll be linked, and you keep listening. Go to the podcast as well. And if you would like to and want to support what we're doing, please go to the PayPal link, or we'll take energetic support as well. All is welcome and also gratefully received. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. And until next time, love to Lal.